Dear saints of Christ, sympathizing with the flesh and the dictates of it is an abomination to God. Jesus said, you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. Let me say this. We must be possessed with a ruthless perspective on the flesh. And that's how we're going to honor God. So many are speaking of treating themselves, you know, since they earned it, they're so wonderful and have worked hard and celebrating that they earned a degree or something like this. And this is all puffed up in the flesh, things of the flesh, relishing the carnal. These are said to be people whose God is their belly or their carnal appetites. Now, my point in using the word ruthless, that is, be ruthless on the flesh, is simply that there can be no mercy on the flesh. We all know by experience what that turns into, and it's not anything good. It's always evil. It's always associated with sin, which produces shame and guilt and every evil under the sun. The Holy Spirit alone can crucify the deeds of the body, and that doesn't happen till we submit to Him. Notice Romans, beginning in chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, that's the resurrection, shall make alive, that is, your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Then he continues, Paul says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. See, we're not debtors to the flesh. Okay, the flesh does nothing but get you in trouble. Romans 6, the scripture says, among many other things there, in verse 7, he that is dead is freed from sin. You know, the Bible's clear all over the New Testament in particular that you are not free and you are miserable if, in fact, you are living according to the dictates of the flesh. And let me be so bold as to say God didn't design or ordain that you live so unhappy. Now, there's things that are going to be very evil that happen to us in this sinful, fleeting world. But, you know, we're heaping if we live in sin. See, the Bible says, he that abideth in Christ sinneth not, 1 John 3, 5, and 6. Now, those who live in the flesh are heaping much misery on themselves that Jesus designed that they not do, but rather that they would be crucified with Christ, and therefore raised up by Him, which would include being full of the happiness or the joy of the Lord, no matter what's going on. And when I talk about happiness, it's in the biblical context. If you look up the word happy, you will see all the scriptures on it in the King James Bible, which define it, okay? And that would include, happy is the man whom the Lord chastens. Proverbs 3:12. We know and have the confirmation of God loving us when He convicts us and chastens us, Hebrews 12:5-12. So Paul continues here in Romans 8, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh. You owe nothing to the flesh except to crucify it as a child of God, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, the old man, the carnal nature, ye shall die. If you live after the flesh, Adam and Eve found that out. They yielded to the devil who tempted them. And they sinned against God, which he was trying to protect them from, and that's why he gave them the mandate, you shall, in the day that thou eatest thereof, that is, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, remember, there was no sin in the world at that time, you shall surely die, Genesis 2:17. Well, Satan tempted them by casting doubt on the word of God and adding something to it. One three-letter word in Genesis 3:4. See, Satan came behind the Lord who had given the commandment. And Satan said, you shall not surely die. Notice the word not. He inserted, he added to the Word of God. And that always leads to the fall of men, not only with Adam and Eve, but everything is rooted and grounded, every major doctrine of Scripture in the book of Genesis. And that's what Satan does to us today. He, you know, when he tempts us to do some sin that brings a good feeling or some outcome that feeds the flesh, he's never going to stop and say, well, now, I want to warn you, though, if you do this sin I'm tempting you to do, here's going to be the result. No, he never does that, does he? He never reminds you. But, you know, through our own experience, we should be fed up with the results of sin and be ready to say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, you must increase, but I must decrease. Lord, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Those are all scriptures, beloved, and we have three books. In fact, we got like a triple tri-pack. If you want to buy them all, I highly recommend them. They're going to put so much scripture on the cross in you. That's why the only reason why they're important. One of them's called I Die Daily. The other one is called Raised Up, and the other one is called 31 Cross Prayers, a prayer for every day of the month to be crucified with Christ. And you can find them on safeguardyoursoul.com. So Paul says here, Romans 8:13, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now, aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit is going to assist and anoint us to mortify the deeds of the body? And he says, when they're mortified, you shall live. You'll have life. With life comes what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. How many people want to be filled with righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost? Jesus had more joy than anyone who ever walked the earth. Why? Because he, without fail, abided and did in the Father and did his will, not his own will. And that's what happens to us. We have uninterrupted joy. We are full of joy when we do things God's way. And God's way in the divine economy is the cross. He that is of a merry heart has a continual feast. Don't you love that God desires that you and I walk in a continual feast, no matter what's going on? Continual feast. That's Proverbs 15:15. Okay, so he says, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. You will be separated from God if you sin. Okay, one sin is as good as a million. Okay, because God is holy, holy, holy. Never let that leave your mind, beloved. God is holy, holy, holy. Twice this divine attribute is spoken in triplicate. There's no other attribute that's even repeated one time in all the Bible, except more than one time in the Bible than holy. God is holy, holy, holy. Okay, is God love? Yes, the Bible says God is love, 1 John 4:8-16. But it never says God is love, love, love. So God was trying to make a point here that he's holy, holy, holy. Okay, you're not his little pet disciple that he gives leeway to live in sin. And that's why you have to take a ruthless perspective on the flesh. Give it no mercy. And those who are not yet ruthless on the flesh, demanding and ordaining and mandating with a resolved disposition that it must die, or giving sympathy to Satan and to the desires, the evil desires that defile you. See, the self-life must die by the cross and be raised up, must be dead and buried, and therefore God then and only then will God raise you up, which is divinely enable you by the Holy Spirit, as we're reading right here in Romans 8:13. You see, God's not going to raise up anyone who's not dead and buried. But you can be sure this, it's guaranteed that God will raise you up as you're dead and buried with Christ. Amen. Give the flesh an inch and it will take a mile. We all know that by experience and by Scripture. When we choose to die that Christ might live, we are essentially saying to the old man, to the flesh, shut up and die. Amen. Shut up and die, man. And what we're doing there is saying, Lord, I'm done with self and sin, and I'm giving you, my Lord Jesus, my Savior, precedence. Amen. I love you, Lord Jesus, with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, supremely. You are the first love of my life. Not self, but you, Lord Jesus. You know, Galatians 5:24 says, they that are Christ. Now, this is a scary verse. It should be. It should invoke the holy fear of God in us. It says, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. I want you to memorize that verse, Galatians 5:24. They that are Christ, he defines who's Christ, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Okay, that's Galatians 5:24. Notice Isaiah 37:31, and the remnant. Notice this, the remnant. Here's another definition of who the true remnant really are. Remember, Jesus said that his Father's flock is a little flock. Hello, somebody. Okay, quote unquote, little flock. That's Luke 12:32. Don't you know Jesus wasn't lying when he said, few there be which enter in thereat? That is, those who, he said this, Matthew 7:13-14, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, but straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Will you be one of those few? You know, many be called, but few chosen. Many be called. I believe that's in the book of Matthew, maybe 20:16. Look it up, memorize it. Many be called, but few chosen. Will you be one of those few? Many be called, but few chosen. You know, early on in my Christianity, that right there, that verse and verses like that absolutely haunted me. And also, it provoked a desire in me to be one of those few. Every one of us has the same opportunity to obey God. Everybody here listening to me right now on this message is obeying something or someone, I should say. Paul said this in Romans 6:16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves, ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. We must ask ourselves today, who are we obeying? Who is it that we are obeying? The Savior or self? You see, Jesus wants you to walk in full, complete victory. That's why he came and died. No matter what you face or what he allows, and this can only happen when you do things his way and no other way. His way is the cross without fail. The divine economy is the cross economy, the crucified life. That's the only way to walk with Christ. Now, somebody might be saying, wow, I've never heard this, or I've rarely heard this. Well, let me stop to say this. You are, if you're listening to ministries that aren't preaching the cross, that means they are telling you what God says without exception. You must die. You are willingly following false teachers. And I can tell you right now, there's only about 1 in 100 ministries, and that might even be being liberal with it, are actually teaching the cross, which is at the center of the original gospel of Jesus Christ. Not only the cross of his redemption when he shed his blood, but also the cross that he mandated, he ordained, and requires and expects you to take up daily in following him. Otherwise, you're not following him. And so, on the authority of God's word, I am reproving, rebuking, and exhorting right now, as this word is being preached, it's not my word, it's his, that if a man is not preaching the cross on a regular basis, he should have it somewhere in every message, if not from front to finish, start to finish. If he's not preaching the cross, the imperative of the crucified life, he is a vile wolf. He's one of those many false prophets, quote unquote, that Jesus warned you about. Matthew 7:15-24, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. I mean, they have a ministry set up, so they have to be true, right? False. You shall know them, he said in the next verse, by their fruit. What is their doctrine? That's the main fruit. Notice Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening or devouring wolves. Also Matthew 24:11, concerning these final days in which we now live, Jesus said, many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Jesus wants to give you the full victory, my friend, and the only way that's going to happen is that if you surrender afresh today, you come afresh to the Lord with words, Hosea 14:1-2, returning to him with all your heart and declaring with him that you are crucified with him, Romans 6, Galatians 2:20, etc., and that he's the first love of your life and no other. Dethrone self and elevate the Savior Jesus to sit upon the throne of your heart. Okay, now a brother in Christ, as we close here, just sent me an absolutely fabulous commentary on 2 Corinthians 4:10-12. And let me read that passage to you, because that right there is a major cross passage. 2 Corinthians 4:10-12. Listen to the Apostle Paul, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Listen to this. He says this. Paul here is very bold in speaking of the intimate union that there was between Christ living in him and the life he lived in the flesh with all its suffering. He had spoken, Galatians 2:20, of his being, his own being crucified with Christ and Christ living in him. Here, Paul tells how he was always bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus. It was through that life, the dying of the Lord, that the life also of Jesus was manifested in his body. And he says that it was because the death, notice that, of Christ was thus working in and through him, that Christ's life could work in them. See, that's how ministry happens. When we're crucified with Christ, he's raising us up in his life. The life of Christ is teeming in us and flowing through us. Notice what he said in verse 12 of 2 Corinthians 4:10-12. Now I want you to prayerfully pore over this passage on a regular basis, my friend. He says, so then death worketh in us, but life in you. Death worked in Paul and his those that ministered with him, but life, through that death, Jesus' life worked through them into the lives of others. Amen. That right there will save people a lot of money that want to go pay somebody to teach them how to follow Jesus at some Bible school or a cemetery. Yeah, I said cemetery, better known as a seminary. I think I got it right the first time. just follow Jesus. You got a Bible. You got a King James Bible. Walk with Jesus, fast and pray, deny yourself daily and follow him, and be an authentic, genuine, organic disciple of Jesus. He's going to use you mightily. Okay, the commentary continues as we come to a close here. He says this on this passage we're looking at, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10 through 12. He continues, he says, "We often speak of our abiding in Christ, but we forget that that means abiding in a crucified Christ. Many believers appear to think that when once they have claimed Christ's death in the fellowship of the cross and have counted themselves as crucified with him, that they may now consider it as past and done with. They do not understand that it is in the crucified Christ and in the fellowship of his death that they are to abide daily and unceasingly. The fellowship of the cross is to be the life of a daily experience. The self-emptying of our Lord, his taking the form of a servant, his humbling himself as becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, this mind that was in Christ is to be the disposition that marks our daily life." What a blessing. Okay, and he finishes here. He says, "Always bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus, the Lord Jesus." He says, "This is what we are called to as much as was Paul. If we are indeed to live for the welfare of men around us, if we are to sacrifice our own ease and pleasure to win souls for our Lord, it must be true of us, as was as of Paul, that we are able to say, 'Death works in us, but life in those for whom we pray and labor.' For it is in our fellowship in the sufferings of Christ that the crucified Lord can live out and work out his life in us and through us. Let us learn the lesson that the abiding in Christ Jesus, for which we have so often prayed and striven, is nothing less than the abiding of the crucified one in us and we in him." Amen. What a beautiful commentary on 2 Corinthians 4, 10 through 12. And may God anoint each of us, beloved, to be dead and buried with Christ, to have a vision of the concept, the biblical divine concept of the cross. May God imbue us with this concept and teach us his ways, which is the way of the cross, by which he brings the resurrection and his life in and through us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Saints, God bless you. Glad we had these moments together, and your prayers for this outreach and the fruitfulness thereof would be utterly coveted. God bless you.